Half a piece from Pinchas Friedman from the Kedai Hu Rabbi Shimon on Lag Omer. The original edition, Tafshin Samach Dawid. So the beginning of the piece, he talks about the Gemara Masech HaShabbos and Daf Pecha. So let's review a little bit, just the background to the piece, and then you'll see this unbelievable idea that he develops. The background to the Gemara is that we know that on the Pasuk of Vayis Yatzvu B'tachtis Hahar, the Gemara says in Shabbos Pechas Samad Aleph that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kafaleim Har Kegigis. Hashem put a mountain over our head, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, accept the Torah or else I'm going to drop the mountain on your head. And there's a very famous question that's discussed that Tosfos on the page asks, and Chazal already asked in the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach, why did Hashem have to threaten us to accept the Torah if what? If we had already said Nasa V'Nishma, right? We wanted the Torah. Why do you have to pressure someone into accepting the Torah if we already signed up for the Torah? Okay, so let's review some of the classic answers first. What's Tosfos' answer to that question? Tosfos Shabbos Peches Amad Aleph. Why did Hashem hold the mountain over our head and threaten us to accept the Torah if we had already said, we had already shown interest by saying Nasa V'Nishma? So Tosfos says we were frightened. We came to Har Sinai. We saw the of the Maimed. When they saw the fires of Sinai, and there was such an experience that what? That when they heard Hashem speak at Har Sinai, their souls were flying out of their bodies, as the Gemara says. And they come to Moshe, and they beg Moshe, you take over, it's too scary, it's too frightful for us. Right? Essentially, when the Jews showed up at the mountain, and they saw how intense the Maimed was, that the Har is, you know, on fire, and there's smoke, and there's sights, and there's sounds, they wanted to back out. And at that point, Hashem said, you're not backing out, and he put a mountain overhead, and he forced us to finish that initial desire to accept the Torah. That's the answer of Tosfos. Okay, clear? Tosfos Shabbos Peches Amud Aleph. Originally, they said yes, they got scared, they wanted to back out, and Hashem didn't let them back out. That's Tosfos. What's the opinion of the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach? The Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach says that when the Jews signed up for Torah, they thought they were signing up for Torah Shebichsav. They thought they were signing up for, how many psukim in Torah Shebichsav? 5,845 psukim. That's the entire Torah. Less than 6,000 psukim. A lot of stories. Right, they thought they were signing up for a small book. And in truth, they got to Har Sinai, and Hashem says, well, along with this small book comes what? Comes Shas, 2,711 pages of very complicated Torah. Four Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, right? Halacha. There's a lot more than they thought they were signing up for. So it was the Torah Sheba'al Peh that they were forced to accept. Torah Shebichsav didn't seem so daunting to them. Torah Sheba'al Peh, when they were introduced to Torah Sheba'al Peh, they were completely overwhelmed by it, as many are when they first start learning Gemara. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to force them to accept the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay? But now we're going to develop Al Pi Chasidus and Pnimiyas HaTorah that it could be that the Kafaleim Har Kegigas had something to do with accepting the deeper dimensions of Torah. Okay? So let's read inside. We'll start from page Kuf Mem Aleph. It's the left-hand side of the page where he says, yeah.
Who's the second opinion was?
Sorry. That's the Medrash Tanchuma. And Parshas Noach says that it was they thought they were signing up for Torah Shebichsav and they needed to be pressured into accepting Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay, but now let's go a little bit deeper into this inyan. Okay, this is the middle of Maimer Chaf Beis. Again, the sefer is called Kedai Hu Rabbi Shimon, which is an expression that appears three times in Shas. That Rabbi Shimon Kedai Hu Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is reliable. B'Shas Adchak, right? Even though we don't usually paskin like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Whatever that means, I'm not going to go into that inyan right now. It's a very deep inyan. Well, when we're in trouble, we turn to Rabbi Shimon. He knows how to get us out of trouble. Okay, but let's see. This is the middle of, again, the piece is really about Kafalei Marka Gigas as being a surrounding light, an Or Makif, that surrounded Klal Yisrael. That's the idea of being enveloped by the mountain or under the mountain. But now he writes, the top of this section is called Aoskim B'Toras HaNistar, Amdu Tachas Hahar Kegigis. A person who studies Torah Sanistar, if you're open to studying the deeper dimensions of Torah, then that probably has something to do with where you stood or how you stood at Har Sinai. Let's see what that means. Vinira Lahevi Raya Barura. Shekfias har kegigis haisa al chelak hanister shebetar. Again, I know we're picking up in the middle of a mimer here, but he says, I want to bring a clear proof that what was Hashem pressuring us to accept at Har Sinai? Hashem was pressuring us to accept the Torah's hanister, the hidden dimensions. Again, the fact that God wants to give us a system of rules to live our life by is not so crazy. Every society has rules. It says in Pirkei Avos, we should daven for the welfare of the government, because if not for government, each man would swallow himself up alive. I mean, we need rules just to make a society function. So you might look at the Torah and say, the Torah is the same thing. Hashem gave us rules that are all, every rule is based on, you know, something rational. So we showed up at Har Sinai as rational Jews, and Hashem said, no, you have to understand, everything I'm giving you has many, 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 many layers to it. There's a depth to everything I'm teaching you. So he says, I want to bring a proof that the mountain being suspended over our head was regarding the Chelek HaNistar Shabbatara. And I want to bring a proof, he says, from the Zohar, Kadosh, and Parshas Baal Oscha. Ki osam she'oskim b'chachbas HaNistar amdu al Har Sinai. That those who study Torah HaNistar stood at Har Sinai. What does that mean? Chakimin avde de malka ila inon de kaimu betura de Sinai lo mistakle ela b'nishmasa de ihi ikara de kula oraisa mamish. Perish, what does that mean? Chachamim avde melech ha'elyon, the true, right, chakimin, the wise ones who are the servants of the king above, of the melech ha'elyon, Hashem, sha'amdu har Sinai. Those who really have a deep hiskashrus to what Torah is in its truest form, ein mistaklim ela b'nishmas haTorah. They don't get lost, so to speak, in the mushal of the Torah, but they realize that the mushal of the Torah, everything in Torah is really just a mushal for the nimshal, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The nimshal is having a relationship with Hashem. The mushal of how I do that is following every sifkatan in Mishneh Berurah. But those who are truly wise people understood that at Har Sinai they were able to see the neshama of the Torah, she chelak hanistar ikar haTorah, what the Zohar calls the essence of Torah, the primary part of the Torah. V'inei ba'agos nitzutze oros, from the Chida. The Chida in his nitzutze oros writes, he brings a Haggah, hevi alkach Haggah b'shem Amar Meir, mashma osan she'enem yodim sodas haTorah lo amdu al Har Sinai. A scary thought. Which means that those people who reject Pnimiyas HaTorah, those who aren't interested in developing a relationship with the deeper dimensions of Torah, right, were not at Har Sinai, did not stand, at least in the same way they did not stand at Har Sinai. Now we know the neshama of every Jew is at Har Sinai. But the same way that we read in the Chumash that there were different locations at Har Sinai, there's Moshe, there's Aaron, there's his sons, there's the Zakenim, there's Klal Yisrael at the foot of the mountain. Different people stood in different places. So too, depending on one's connection to the deeper dimensions of the Torah, that might be indicative of where his neshama, how close, so to speak, to the mountain one was at Kabbalah Satara. Ulam hachida sham mitama alkach haflo vafelo. The chida wonders about this, really? Eich yala das ki mish eno baki besoda satara la amdu raglo har Sinai. The chida says, is that true? So if you're not a mekubal, if you're not a master of the deeper dimensions of Torah, I mean, I'm pretending as we read this piece, ki'ilu, like we were the ones. So, okay, we learn a little bit of chassidus. That's very true and nice and holy, but let's not fool ourselves. The Chida says, are you telling me that anyone who's not a real expert in Chachmas HaNistar, which is none of us, we weren't at Har Sinai? We didn't stand at Har Sinai. Amar Chaim Yosef. So he writes, Amar Chaim Yosef. That's the Chida. Right? The Chida is Chaim Yosef David Azulai. Amar Chaim Yosef, lo tehe kazos. It's hard to say it like this. El ritzono lomar she'ena ma'aminim besod. That we can say we're part of that chavra. Right? Who's excluded from our Sinai? People who are mezalzel. People who think chassidus, kabbalah, pnimius haTorah is a joke. Such a person, there's something very wrong. They're missing a whole dimension of Torah. If you don't believe in this type of Torah, again, you don't have to be an expert in it. But you have to know, right, that when people say that's not pshat, right, well, you be careful with what you're saying. Are you saying that there's something more to pshat, or are you saying that anything that's not pshat is not true? Because then you're denying the deeper dimensions of Torah, and that's a serious problem. So a person who's not ma'aminim besodos haTorah, right, is a person who's not at Har Sinai. Amnam ha'ma'aminim v'lo yaldu einim b'chlal zeh, but if you believe in it, even if obviously, you know, you're not quite there yet, you have a lot of nigla to still master, all the more so a lot of nister, a lot of hidden dimensions of Torah, to even begin to scratch the surface, as long as at least you believe in the truth of the deeper dimensions of Torah, that's a sign you had a good place at Har Sinai. Umi she'eino mamin sheyesh sod. So this is a famous line from the Chidah. He brings it in different ways. But here he brings it, Umi she'eino mamin sheyesh sod, a person who doesn't believe in sod, goreya samach mipardes. So he removes the samech. We know there are four dimensions of Torah: pshat, remez, drush, and sod, what we call the pardes, the orchard of Torah. So if you remove the samech, so what letters are you left with? Pei, resh, dalet. Does anyone know what a parrot is? Vizeh shakasov, kesus kefered ein havin. Parrot is a mule. What is a mule?
Stubborn.
Stubborn, that's true. It's known to be stubborn. How do you create a mule? It's a cross between what?
A donkey
and a horse.
Between a horse and a donkey. And a mule is a sterile animal. Right? It's a forbidden mixture. Right? And it's a stubborn animal and it's a sterile animal. It doesn't produce. So therefore a person who cuts off the samach of the pardes, he's compared to a mule. And that's not a good comparison. As David HaMelech says, like a stubborn mule, right? Like a foolish mule who's ain't hovin, who doesn't understand, doesn't have a clarity of things. A person who looks at Torah and says, nah, samach, I don't need the samach. There's no such thing as the samach. So such a person, again, he's limiting himself from being fruitful in Torah. He becomes, so to speak, a forbidden mixture. It's a foreign ideological way of looking at Torah. It's not what Torah believes. Torah has pshat, has remez, has drush, and has sod. So God forbid, it blocks his Havanas HaTorah when he denies the Sod of Torah. Again, that means he can't even learn Shulchan Aruch to its you know, fullest, right, because of his rejection of Sod HaTorah. Not that he has to understand, like Rav Itchemeyer, he doesn't have to understand how to learn the Shulchan Aruch al-Pi Sod HaTorah. It just means by rejecting a Chelek of Torah, he's closing off a certain, you know, tzinor, a certain pipeline, to be able to have success in Torah. Okay? Amazing idea. Now, let's go farther in this idea. Al namar isi b'sefer beis lechem Yehuda, which is a parish on the Eitz Chaim, of Rav Chaim Vital, he explains as follows, where it's bolded in the big paragraph at the bottom. V'nira li b'bir kovanasa. Ki b'tchila k'shiyatsu Yisrael l'kras ha'elokim ha'im isyatsvim b'tachtis ahar. Listen to this. Initially, the Jewish people gathered betach the Sahar, which the Gemara again is learning under the mountain, because Hashem suspended the mountain over our heads. The Pashur Pshat, tach the Sahar means what? At the base of the mountain, at the foot of the mountain. And then the Pasuk says, Vachar kach ne'amar, Vayar ha'am vayanu'u vayamdu me'rachok. The people saw vayanu'u and they trembled. Vayamdu me'rachok, and they stood at a distance. They were frightened by the fires. What would you do if you were standing in the presence of a overwhelming, you know, fire and shofar blasting in your face? You'd also move back, probably. Now some Jews, right, lahavdil, like a little bug that's drawn towards the light, right? Lahavdil, some Jews, their neshama was drawn towards the light of the fire of Torah. And they wanted to draw closer and closer to it. They weren't frightened away from it. They were overjoyed by the revelation in front of them. They said, I'm standing here. Again, right? Lahavdil, like that bug that keeps running towards the flames, right, even though it could kill it. So lahavdil, obviously. Right? But the Jews who stood at Har Sinai, there were some Jews who said, I don't care if I die from these flames. These are the holiest flames. I can't move away from it. They were addicted to it. They were drawn close. They were pulled, the gravitational pull of an neshama towards the Shekhinah. They wanted to reconnect themselves. Right? It's the Eish Zara of the children of Aaron. They couldn't resist. Yeah. But Nadav and Aviyu were drawn towards the flame, so to speak, and they brought their foreign fire, and they were consumed by a fire. The Rechaim HaKadosh says it was a holy fire that consumed them. So there were some Jews who stood at Har Sinai, and they said, I don't care how powerful the flames are. If I give my neshama back into the flames and reconnect to the Shekhinah, all the better. V'lo ratu lazuz mekom, they wouldn't leave their place, even if it meant dying mamish. V'aleyem hu masha amar b'zohar hanizchar, and that's what it means when the Zohar says there were some Jews, inan de kaimu betur de Sinai, those who held their ground at Har Sinai, those who understood that I'd rather return my soul to Hashem and be close to Hashem than continue to live as an independent entity far from Hashem. Klomar v'lo na'u v'amdu me'rachu. They didn't shake and move back. Ela amdu b'tur d'sinai mitchil ratzov. They stood at the mountain from beginning to end. V'lachein heim zochen l'chachmas emes. So those Jews who stayed close, those neshamos who stayed close to the fire, right, were the ones who, till this day, as they exist in body form now, remain closer to the fire, to the Shechina. V'osan ha'neshamos. Look at these lines. Three lines from the bottom. Asher na'u. Those who trembled, imam, va'omdu me'rachok, and they moved back. Kain hein osim gam ata. Shenasim va'omdu me'rachok mechachas emes mi'yirasam pen tocham eisha gedola. It's those same Jews who nowadays still stand far from chachmas hanistar and pnimis ha'torah, and they say, they're still running from it. They're still running. No, we shouldn't. Not our place to study these things. Or they have questions. No, I don't know, who says, there were some scholars, academics who questioned the authenticity of the Zohar. Right? They question these types of things. They move away from these things. And it's not for us to be osek in these things. Even though all the tzaddikim saying, for the ikvus of the Mashiach, we need to be osek in these things. Not chas v'shalom to the exclusion of learning Mishnayos and Gemara and Halacha. Right? But we also have a special heter, b'zman hazeh, in the end of days, to be osek in these Torahs. And there are some people who are still saying, no, it's too overwhelming, it's not for us. It is for us. The tzaddikim of our time are saying it is for us. So those Jews who moved away at Har Sinai are still moving away today. Very powerful idea. Okay, turn the page. Nimtzeinu lemeidim, so therefore we've learned an amazing chiddush gadol. Kimasha kasa b'zohar kadosh, that which the Zohar told us, again, that those who study chachma sanistar, those who are wise in us and who are avdei d'malki ilah, Ina the Kaimu Batur de Sinai. What does it mean those who stood at Har Sinai? It's referring to those who specifically held their ground at Har Sinai and continued to what? To draw close to the Shechina, even though they understood there's an element of a danger. And there is. When you learn Chachma Sanistar, there's a danger. When the Ramchal in the 1700s was being Megala big secrets. Yeah. When Rav Arya Kaplan in more recent times was being Megala big secrets. These were two big tzaddikim who were creating, again, totally different worlds, but creating a giloy of Sodas HaTorah, and they both died very, very young, in their 30s. Right? So what are you going to say? They went in too deep? They revealed too much? Rabbi Nachman died as a young man. Rabbi Nachman was born in 1772, and he died in 1810. Amish, a short life. The Arizal, short life. These people lived very short lives. So is that Hashem's way of saying, stop, you're revealing too much, I'm going to kill you for it? They died as tzaddikim. Right? They were pushing the limits, but they felt that was part of their job, that was part of their achrayas. Yeah. So there were those Jews who stood at Har Sinai and said, we're standing close to the flames, even if it costs us our life. And you see, when people are megala certain sodas HaTorah for the better of the world, because the world needs the medicine, they do so at risk to themselves. They do so sometimes at risk to their own lives. But Rafa Pichain, they felt, what choice do I have? Not going to run away from such a giloy. I can't conceal that which I know. I have to be megalit to the world. Okay, so look at the second paragraph. Ata bo re'e, ki bir ze mishtaliv lahafli, ha'masha be'arnu binin kafiyas harkigigas. So this fits beautifully with what we explained earlier, part of the mimer that we didn't see. Sheromez al Torah sanistar shehib b'chinas or makif. Again, the idea of the mountain being held over your head, it's being surrounded by the mountain. If something's over your head, you can draw, right? You can draw as if there's like walls that come down. You're surrounded by the mountain. So that's what Torah Hanistar is. It envelops us. It surrounds us completely. So those Jews, again, who held their ground by the mountain, were surrounded by this Torah, by this Or Makif, by this enveloping light. Zachubem es lasu b'chachmas kabbalah, which is an Or Makif. The Jews who held their place in the mountain and didn't run from it are the ones who, again, continue to be enveloped by this light. Okay, let's go to the next section on the page. So now I want to bring a further proof to this idea. An amazing idea. Look what he says. Let's go back to that pasuk again. where it's bolded, v'chol ha'amro, v'sakolos, v'salapidim, v'skol ha'shofar, v'sahar ashen. The pasuk says that the entire people, they saw the sounds, and they saw the flames, and they heard the shofar, and the mountain was enveloped in smoke, and the people saw, v'yanu, and they trembled, v'yamdu mirachok, and they stood at a distance, v'yomru al Moshe, and they turned to Moshe, and they said, Moshe, please, we're too scared. Da ber'ata imanu, v'nishma'a. We can't handle Hashem speaking. The Gemara says again, their souls were flying out of their bodies. Not they were in theory dying, they were dying. Okay? So let's go further. Says Rav Chaim Vital, Kidvarim Elu Namru Al Yedei Ha'erev Rav. Rav Chaim Vital says, which Jews, who was standing at our Sinai who couldn't handle it? Right? I mean, a real Jew would say, what do you mean? I'm not going to, Hashem's talking, I'm going to say, no, it's too intense. I want Moshe to talk. Who would say such a thing? Says Rav Chaim Vital, it was the Erev Rav. And it was the Erev Rav, it was those outsiders who had joined the Klal Yisrael, who were still Tuma Bulbal in the Mitzri world they were coming from, or wherever they were coming from, right? Which was causing them this confusion and their inability to accept the Torah in all of its madregos. He writes where it's bolded, six lines from the bottom. Hine, nisbar b'makom acher. Ki avon adam harishon b'eit hadas tov v'ra hu. Shelo bachar l'esasek b'eit hachayim shichach was kabal. Amazingly deep idea. Rav Chaim Vital says, what was the chet eit hadas? Eit hadas tov v'ra. What was that world of das that Adam took for himself, but he was not supposed to take? And what was the eit hachayim that he failed to choose? So says Rav Chaim Vital, the Eitz HaChaim is the Chachmas HaKabbalah. It's that aspect of Torah that is mamish, you know, kulo chayim. And Adam Rishon chose what? You know, kind of silly way to describe it, but he chose a world of Tovara. He went to college instead. Yeah, he could have gone to a yeshiva of Mikubalim, and instead Adam says, no, I want the college experience. I want Tovara. He entered into a world that was a blend. Instead of taking a world that was what? That was kulo or. He took a world of or v'choshach, of tov v'ra. Instead of taking from the Eitz HaChaim, which was Chachmas HaKabbalah. V'zeh atzmo avon ha'erev rav. And says Rav Chaim Vital, that was the mistake of the erev rav, those who were what? The mixed multitude, tov v'ra, a blend. A confusing blend of evil and good, of light and darkness. It was the erev rav who said to Moshe, Daber ata imanu. We want you to speak to us. We want to receive the Torah on the level of Eitz Hadas Tovara, Ve'al Yadaber Imanu Elokim Pen Namos B'Sisrei Torah. It was the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude who couldn't handle the secrets of Torah. Mevuar Midivrei Rav Chaim Vital, two lines from the bottom, that he's explaining this pasuk, Daber Ata Imanu V'Nishma Ve'al Yadaber Imanu Elokim Pen Namos Al Eilu Shenis Yaru Lasuk B'Toros, top of the next page, B'Toros HaNistar. It was those Jews who were afraid to accept the Torah Sinistar. It was those Jews who saw Vayanu Vayamdu Meirachok. And it was Dafka, those Jews who what? Who distanced themselves from Har Sinai, like the Beis Lachem Yehuda said. It was Dafka, the Erev Rav, who was responsible for being in that Chevra. An authentic Jew doesn't move away. When he has the opportunity to draw closer to something that's a little bit above him, he's drawn towards it. He wants to lift himself up. He wants to go deeper. He doesn't, Chas V'Shalom, run away from it. Okay, second paragraph on Kuf Mem Gimel. Emor Me'ata, so therefore, Yar Lanu Lahavin Masha Amarashbi. Now we can understand what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said. Ilo Havina Ka'im Al Tura De Sinai B'Shata De Siyavas Torah Li Yisrael. Right? Mashma Vizeh, Shalo Amar Al Sinai. V'lo Kol An Hashama Samad Al Sinai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, had I stood at Har Sinai at the time that the Torah was given, oh, so it says Rav Pinchas Friedman, what are you talking about? Had you stood? I thought every soul was at Har Sinai. What's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai talking about? Ach lefi hamavuar yesh lomar. But based on what we've explained, what was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai saying when he said, had I been at Har Sinai? Of course you were. Rav Shimon, you were at Har Sinai? Of course you are. We learned last week how Moshe Rabbeinu, when he brought down the Torah, he got a ibur neshama of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. He helped to fight off the angels. What are we talking about? What do you mean, if I stood at Har Sinai? So he explained, based on what we've said, Kimasha Marashi, when Rashi said, Ilu Havina Koi Al Tur de Sinai, had I been on Har Sinai, what he means, Ilu Haisi Omid Al Har Sinai, Kavanaso Ilu Haisi Omid Eitzel Har Sinai, had I been standing by Har Sinai, Kamosha Perish Rashi, Al Hamidbar. What does Al Hamidbar mean? Eitzel Hamidbar. Right? Al sometimes means next to. So what does that mean, had I been standing by Har Sinai, near Har Sinai? Kibava dai Rashbi v'talmidav bali asod lo amdu raglam al Har Sinai dainu samach lahar ele betachtis ahar. Kamavur b'divrei Hazor HaKadosh, as we've explained from the Beis Lachem Yehuda, ke'eile she'oskin b'chachmas anistar amdu tachas ahar v'lo samach lo. Minu Rishon Bar Yochai is saying, had I stood near Har Sinai, So what? Had I stood near Har Sinai? Where were you at Har Sinai? You weren't there? No, he's not saying I wasn't there. He was there. Where was he? He was Tachas Ahar. Again, we're using Tachas Ahar. Those who stood under the mountain were viewing those who drew close. Right? Rishon Bar Yochai says, had I been standing on the sideline like those other people, here's what I might have done. But Rishon Bar Yochai is saying, not that... You know, I wasn't even by the side. I wasn't by the side because I was even closer than by the side. Right? Ki eila sha'oskin b'chachma sanistar amdu tacha sahar v'lo samoch lo. Those who study Torah sanistar, Har Sinai was like a canopy for them. It shielded them. It surrounded them on all sides. It covered them. Like a good umbrella in the rain. Baruch Hashem, I was zoichet to a good umbrella in the rain today. Right, so it shields you. What do you mean? It's just over you. No, but it comes down. You view it as if it comes down on all sides. It protects you on all sides. Yeah. So Har Sinai, for those who are close to Torah, it surrounded them on all sides. V'hinei, next paragraph. Misha osek b'chachmas hanistar, eino tzarech beiz pios, achas l'divrei Torah v'achas l'divrei chulin. Sharehu mesugu l'daber divrei chulin u'liyached b'hem yichudim gedolim. So what's the end of that statement of Rishon Bar Yochai? Again, we're picking up in the middle of this piece here, so you don't know the beginning of that statement. Rishon Bar Yochai said, right, had I been at Har Sinai, yeah, let's see, let's read inside. He says, those people who what? Those people, see, there was a recommendation of Rishon Bar Yochai that maybe we should have two mouths. Maybe we should have a mouth that we use for Torah and Tefillah and for holy things, and we should have a second mouth that we use for mundane things. Yeah, so when you go to the supermarket and you're having a hard time finding something that your wife asked you to pick up, and you go over to a fellow who works in the supermarket and you say, hi, where can I find this product? Right? So you should say that with your regular mouth. And when you sit in the base medrash and you say, Bereishis bara Elokim, Eis Hashamayim Ve'Eis Haaretz, you say that with your holy mouth. The same mouth that talks Dibur Echol and you know, Dvarim B'Teilim, right? The same mouth that talks about, you know, sports is the same mouth that talks about Bava Kama, can't be. Talks about the stock market. Talks about Yismach Yisrael. Can't be. So his recommendation: we should have two mouths. What type of person needs two mouths?
Someone that separates
exactly. The who doesn't understand that everything that a Jew says can be a yichud, can be a holy thing. If, like the Gemara says in Masechet Sukkah, that the sichas chulin of Talmidei Chachamim requires investigation, requires study, because it's not chol. So Rishon Bar Yochai said, had I been standing at Har Sinai, I would have requested that we have two mouths. So what are we learning? What are we saying? Had I been standing on the sidelines, those Jews who are on the sidelines who don't learn Pnimiyas HaTorah, taka, for such a person, you need two mouths. Because for a person who only learns Torah superficially, there are things that are holy, and there are things that are mundane. Rishon Bar Yochai was speaking on behalf of those Jews who are outsiders. Rishon Bar Yochai himself, he stood where? Tachas the mountain. He stood under the mountain. Rishon Bar Yochai is the greatest teacher of Torah Sanistar. And therefore, for Rishon Bar Yochai himself, one mouth would have been sufficient. Because for such a tzaddik, everything that he says, he's able to turn it into something holy. You hear? So that's what it means when Chazal say, had I been standing by Har Sinai. Right? Al Har Sinai means alongside Har Sinai. Like Rashi translates again in Bereishis Perek Yudalit, Al HaMidbar means Eitzel HaMidbar. So Rishon Bar was saying, had I stood next to Har Sinai, I would have requested two mouths. For such a perspective of Torah, you need two mouths. But for those who stood Tachas Ahar, a person who's totally understands that everything has secrets of Torah to it, even, you know, asking where I can find the kumquats in the supermarket. Yeah, such a thing is itself a nistar, is a secret. So for such a person, you don't need two mouths. Okay? Everyone good? Mamish, a deep idea. Okay, let's keep going. The bottom of page Kuf Mem Gimel. Onu oskim b'chachmas haKabbalah rak b'shasha b'nei Adam al mitasim. Let's see. Al pia amor, yuvan mashakosav makuba aloki Rav Moshe Cordovero. The Ramak. Rav Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak. Okay, the Ramak is one of the greatest teachers and systematic authors of Kabbalah. He has certain differences from the Mahalach of the Arizal. And typically we follow the Arizal sort of as the posik achron, you know, Arizal has the final say. But the writings are really important to the study of Chachmas and Nistar. And he has a sefer called Or Ner. And he writes in the Or Nerav, Be'inyan Zman HaMukhshar LeLimud Torah, turn the page, Kabbalah Dalet. He tells us an interesting thing. When is the optimal time for a person to study the secrets of the Torah? V'adai ki b'chol yom nakal al adam lilmod. Amnam ha'zmanim ha'yosir mukhanim lahaskel ba'oymek hein ba'leilos aruchos mechatzos ve'ilach. There's certain types of Torah, as we mentioned last week, that has different types of time. Right? There's Torah that's more Shabbistic, and there's Torah that's more weekday. Weekday-like. There's Torah that's meant to be studied by day, and there's Torah, like Torah Shabbal Peh, as opposed to Torah Shabbichsav, which is really supposed to be studied primarily at night. Torah Shabbichsav is primarily a daytime study. Torah Shabbal Peh, right, is achieved at its greatest in the nighttime hours. And in the post-chatzos period, in the post-midnight hours, that's the best time to study what? Kabbalah, says the Ramak. As I state in the Ramak, okay? Inyan zeh mavur gam b'shalos and tshuvos divrei chayim. The divrei chayim, in addition to writing, obviously, the sefer divrei chayim, which is a work of chassidus, right? He also has a whole volume of chidushim on Bav Metziah, which is interesting. And he also has shalos and tshuvos in halacha. Obviously, some of the Shalos and Tshuvos and Halach are going to touch on inyanim that have to do with Pnimis Satorah. Okay, but he has Tshuvos on all areas of Halacha as well. Two volumes of Shalos and Tshuvos in the Divrei Chaim. So Rav Chaim Sanzer, Rav Chaim Halberstam. So he writes the following, very interesting thing. He writes in a Tshuva to Rav David Deitch, She is natza lifnei Divrei Chaim al shuhu matrichu bepilpol haTorah velo betorah sanistar. Okay, so he's busy asking him questions about Nigla, and he writes to him the importance of the study of Nigla. Here's what he writes to him. Michtavo kibalti, I've received your letter. People think the Chassidus is a rabbi, they probably like learn Zohar all day. So Rav Chaim Sanzer writes, I know what you're talking about. All day, this is the ikkar of what we learn. Shas, poskim, halacha, bavakama. Yeah. I respond to shailas of people in halacha, in lamdas. Ve'ein anu oskim v'chachma sakabal mitorasino kadosha, rak misha shebenei adam al mitasam. Right, when do we study Kabbalah? After hours. When everyone else is asleep, when everyone else is in bed, he says. Yeah, v'nachnu menadadim hasheina, and we rob our eyes of sleep. We remove ourselves from sleep. That's the time for studying what? Chachmas Hanistar. Aval ikir asakeinu b'shasu poskim. What do you think Rav Pinchas Rivan does all day? You think he just learns Chassidus and Kabbalah all day? Rav Pinchas Rivan is the author of this whole sefer. Probably the most well-read, you know, mimer of Chassidus that's printed on a weekly basis and sent around the world and translated into English and into French and into, you know, who knows what else? The Shvilei Pinchas, yeah, he's a Rosh Kollel. He has Svarim on Yerodea. I mean, he's first and foremost a classic Torah scholar, Shasim Poiskim. Lo kasher hotziu eiza b'nei bli'al, mi medinoschem, sham, she medinasenu on lamdim pashtei haTorah hasham. Not like the rumors that are spread, yeah, by the haters, who make all these claims that we spend all day, we never learn Pashup Shat, we don't learn Halacha, we don't learn Shas. We don't learn Mishnayos. We don't read the Chumash. What are you talking about? That's what people in your Medina they claim about us. It's not true. V'hu machmas shehefkeira nichalehu. Kasher mochichin osam bevolim l'medina senu kama heima b'lo das b'lo yira. Om shekeneged zeh heima b'alei Torah. So there's some chevra over there. Namish, you know, they want to kind of redirect the controversy towards us and away from themselves by claiming that they're big Talmidei Chachamim and claiming that we learn in some type of funny way. And these people who make these claims, they don't know the first thing about Torah. They don't know the first thing about the way that we learn. They have all sorts of nonsense in terms of how they learn and their claims against us. Ve'enam yodim uma rak begaso zerucha. It's their gaiva that they causes them harimu ledaber osek al yirei Hashem. We're proud of chasidim. They make all sorts of claims against nasty claims against chasidim. She'enam bali pilpul va'oskei Torah. They don't learn Torah seriously. All sorts of ridiculous things. She'oskim b'Torah yom v'layla. They don't realize that it's nonsense that we study Torah day and night. B'gufei u'pashtei halachos shas shachar aruch sefer musar. We learn all the basics. It's not true what they say about us. Ha'emes she'ein ha'minhag b'medinos poylin lepalpel l'chadish chidushim zulas gadol ador tzur v'mirabanan haroi lios gadol v'yeser ha'loim dem oiskim b'torah shas u'posim l'haven heitiv u'miyagim al chidushim marisha u'magin avram l'haven karaoi. So even though, yes, it's true that we don't necessarily, not everyone's writing, you know, pilpulim and coming up with chidushim. Most people are sitting, learning shas and poskim, pashup shah with the marsha, with the magen avram, just understanding the basics of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. V'lo osa libam lachadesh ki yodim akirim erach atzvam shein bekochem lachadesh devar emes v'nachon. And people aren't writing chidushay Torah because they know their place. They know it's not stam to just, you know, offer chidushim. So they're studying. People are learning shas, poskim, kipshuto. Lo kein b'medina sacheros. Not like these other countries. They're gaiva. Everyone thinks they're a big lamdan, and they're coming up with all these pilpulim, and they're publishing their articles in these Torah journals. It's hevel, he says. Befalpulim, behavalim. They're mepalpil and all sorts of fake ideas. V'chol mishiyodeya rak meimer b'shas take of omer chidushim. Person thinks he knows one line of Gemara, and all of a sudden he's, I have a chiddush on this line. You don't know anything. Go through shas a few times first. V'gam b'yeshivas in matzeb din osenu mekam v'tam nechodim. And so too, we find in our yeshivas, he says, "Kasher shemati mi'mori chami," like I heard from my, father-in-law, the Baruch Tam, who explained. Top of the next page of Al Yoshim Chaburas Chaburas Beisamedja Oskim B'Torah B'Gar Poiskim B'Tosfos. Fine, so good. So we're serious learners. Okay, so all the claims against us are nonsense, and those who think that they're coming up with chidushim, their chidushim are nonsense. Kol zera isi lohodia lechvot terasan. Why am I writing this whole thing to you? Machas sheshemati mi'bnei bli'al mi'ungan. I've heard that some Hungarian scholars speak against us Jews in Poland. Shemotziyim diva, Medina's Poland. They speak also to Lashon Hara about the Hasidim in Poland. Shein oskim b'pashtei Torah, prad b'chasidim. They say all these nasty things. Lachein ba'avosi love. So in my love for you, I'm telling you the truth. I want you to know what it really looks like by us. Okay? Okay. A long letter, an important letter, right? For those who think that, you know, again, that's by certain tzaddikim, they didn't know Shas. Baal Shem Tov knew Shas. They knew Shulchan Aruch. They knew Poskim. Yeah. There's a beautiful essay, actually. It's written by Rav Zevin. Shlomo Yosef Zevin, who himself was Chabadnik, who wrote magnificent volumes of Torah. And he has a beautiful essay where he talks about the impact of Chassidus upon Nigla. He talks about different tzaddikim, different rebbes, whose way of learning in Niglas HaTorah became, you know, had such a hashpa on the world. Forget the impact in terms of the development of Pimius and Machshava, but even in Nigla, it's a beautiful essay in one of his svarim called La'or HaHalacha, is the name of the sefer. Different essays. One of the essays, he talks about the hashpa of tzaddikim, of rabbis, on the revealed areas of Torah. Okay, but all of this, again, what was the key line that we, you know, why did Rav Pinchas Friedman take us down this path? To teach us that what? That when most people are sleeping, that's when we're studying Kabbalah. As the Ramak told us, the ideal time to study Torah Sanistar is when? Is late at night. So he says, Mivur midvar v'kadoshim k'divrei ha-Ramak. So what we find here in this letter, in this tshuva, from the Divrei Chaim, is like the Ramak said, Ki ikur zman ha-esek b'Torah Sanistar, hu b'layla k'shebnei eldim yoshenu ha-mitasam. When people are sleeping late at night, past chatzos, that's the main time to study the deeper dimensions of Torah. What does this have to do with anything? What does this whole piece have to do with what we've been learning? So look what he says. Again, Kolashono Hakadosh, Ein anu oskim b'chachmas haKabbalah, b'torasenu haKadosha, rak b'shah shebnei adam al mitasam, and we rob our eyes of sleep. V'yesh lamar hatam b'zeh. So why is that? Again, we have two tzaddikim who are telling us the same thing. The Ramak obviously lived before the Divrei Chaim, and the Divrei Chaim, right, defending the practice of Chassidim to study these areas of Torah late at night. Why? Why is that so? And how does it connect to what we were learning about those who stood tachas ahar at Har Sinai? So he says, V'yishlomer atam b'zeh apia yedua, ki b'layla huzman shlitas hachitzonim, Hanim Shalom L'Chayaso Yar. Night is typically associated with what? Darkness. Night is associated with negative forces. It's a time of what? Shlitas Hachitzonim. The outside forces. Who are compared to what? To the wild animals of the forest. V'alzeh Ramaz David HaMelech Ne'im Zmiras Yisrael. This is what David hinted to. When David HaMelech wrote in his words in Tehillim, where it's bolded, Tehillim Kuf Dalid, Toshes Choshech V'hi Laila, Bo Tirmos Kol Chai Soyar. Right? When the darkness descends, that's the time where the wild animals are roaming free in the forest. It's a scary time. V'kvar Hivanu Divrei HaArizal. So I've already told you, I've mentioned earlier the words of the Arizal. She'ein L'cha Davar Sh'mavriach Es Hachitzonim. There's nothing that what? That drives away the negative forces, like what? Kamo or makif. Like the enveloping light of Torah. But which aspect of Torah specifically is like an enveloping light? Lachain ikur zmana esik, but Torah sanistar, shehib v'chinas or makif. So if we understood now that Har Sinai, the mountain over our head, was what? Like a surrounding, like being enveloped by the mountain. And those Jews who are connected to the deeper dimensions of Torah are the ones who are the most surrounded at Har Sinai. And therefore, at night, when the negative forces are strongest, we send out our best soldiers, so to speak. Yeah, our secret ops, you know, going on a secret mission late at night, going to fight the negative forces. Right? Who has the weapon to fight back? It's those who are osik in these inyanim. Those who are osik with Torah Sanistar, which is like the Or Makif, have the ability to fight off the chitzonim and to drive them away at night. Okay? All right, let's finish up the piece. Yom tok lefarish bezem amarim chagiga. Now we understand what the Gemara in Maseches Chagiga says. Amarish lakish kol ha'osek b'torah b'layla HaKadosh Baruch Hu moishech alav chut shel chesed b'yom. In general, the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, most of one's success in Torah comes from the study at night. There's something about learning Torah at night that has a certain hashpa on a person. Right? So Reish Lakish says a person who learns night seder, who's diligent about studying Torah at night, is given a chut shel chesed by day. He's given a strand of kindness. Hashem gives him a special chut, a special rope of kindness by day. What does that mean? Hakavana shekola ozek b'torah b'layla b'torah sanistar. Reish Lakish is telling us, if you learn the Torah that's unique to nighttime, the Torah that's an or makif, the Torah that has the ability to what? To fight against the chitzonim, the sitra achra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moishech alav chut shel chesed bayom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows such a person with what? With a special what? A special chut shel chesed by day. What does that mean? Sha'afilu bayom. Kishu osek v'toras hanigla. Shu b'chinas or pnimi. When you learn the daytime Torah, when you learn the revealed Torah, when you learn the Torah that's compared to the or pnimi, right? The inner light. Again, inner here doesn't mean more internal. Right? Inner means the more basic light as opposed to, right? Meaning it's one thing for my insides to be inside of me. It's another thing to be so filled with Torah that it spills over. That's what the Or Makif means. Right? It's creating like a shield around me, like a protective shield around the person. That my Torah has such an outward, you know, energetic flow that it surrounds me. So when a person studies Torah properly, in the depths of the night, studies his deeper dimensions, so that has a hashpa on the Torah that he learns by day. Right? In other words, that or pnimi is meyer alav even stronger, and that's what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu moishech alav daika or makif shemeyer alav mibachutz. A person who studies Torah at night properly will have a continuation of that or me alav around him by day. In other words, like I said before, if you learn the deeper dimensions of Torah properly, it will help you. It will help you in your study of nigla. I really believe that that's true. I really believe that when I started learning Chassidus, I have a different and better way of understanding what Gemara is about, what Halacha is about. You see everything with a different set of eyes. I told you once from Rav Kluger. Rav Kluger said, when a person learns Hilchos Tzitzis, L'mashal, a person learns Hilchos Tzitzis, yeah? And then he learns the Pnimius of Hilchos Tzitzis. So it's not like he learned Hilchos Tzitzis, and now he's just adding, you know, another dimension on top. When a person now has a perspective of Pnimius, he's able to look back at everything he learned and see that in a totally new way. Right? It's a different set of glasses that allows you to see everything differently. So when a person studies the Torah at night with its depth, it's Moshech Alav, It has a hashpa, an enveloping hashpa, on everything that he's learning in the Niglas HaTorah by day. Okay? Bottom paragraph. So now we can understand an interesting Gemara in Mesechas Eiruvin about the optimal time or way to learn Torah. Amar Rav Yehuda. Lo ivri lele ela l'shinsa. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lachish. Lo ivri siara ela l'girsa. Let's see what it means. V'yesh lomar ki eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Ki eilu sha'oskim rak b'toras ha'nigla v'lo higia adayin l'madrega kazu lasok b'toras ha'nistar lo nivra ha'layla ela l'shena. Rav Yehuda says what? That the night was created, what? L'shinsa, for sleeping. Why was night created? For sleeping. Meaning, go to sleep at night. Because if you stay up late at night, you're going to get yourself into trouble. You don't know what to do late at night other than get yourself into trouble. So, what was night created for? Getting a good night's rest so you can wake up tomorrow and get back to Bava Kama. That's what the night's for. That's the first opinion. What's the second opinion? The moon was created for study. Nighttime was created for study. So it says, Rav Pinchas Friedman, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. If you only study Torah Hanigla, so what should you do at night? Get a good night's sleep. The night was created for such a person to sleep. Aval, turning to the last page. Aval eilu shekvar zachu la'asagas Torah Hanistar. But those people who know what to do at the post-midnight hour, right? Hine lo nivra halayla ela what? Lasuk b'Torah Hanistar. Then use that time to tap into the deeper dimensions of the Torah. And that's what it means when the Gemara says, Lo ivri sihara el lagirsa. Right? That the night was created, the moon was created for Torah study. Specifically, again, this deeper dimension of Torah study. And that's exactly what, again, the Divrei Chaim wrote in his letter. While other people are sleeping, we're studying the secrets of the Torah. And again, it's that type of Torah that those Jews who understood what it meant to be close to Hashem at Har Sinai received at Har Sinai. Okay, in the darkness of Har Sinai, they kept the lights on, so to speak. Okay, last idea. Torah Ha'ula, Remez al Torah Hanistar. Va'ata bo re'ei shekol zeh nirmez b'Torah Sinai HaKadosha v'Parsha Sav. Let's go back to Parsha Sav by the Karban Ola, and we'll learn an amazing thing. Sav es Aaron v'ezban of Lemor, zos Torah Ha'ula. There's certain karbanos that what? That are eaten by the Kohanim, eaten by the Bailim. There's a carbon that's offered entirely to Hashem. It's called the carbon ola. The entire thing is given to Hashem with the exception of the hides which are given to the Kohanim. But all of the meat is given to Hashem. Burnt on the Mizbeach. Ge'ein lecha yoyser mukhshar lelim sagas Torah Sinistar kmo Kohanim ovdei Hashem. So the first thing we need to realize, the Kohanim are considered the group of Torah scholars who are most connected to Torah, which means that they're connected to the depths of Torah, namely Torah Sinistar. There's no group that's more fit for the study of Sinistar than who? Than Kohanim. Okay? Kamayim Rakasuk says in Malachi, Ki sifse kohen yishmur das, v'tor yavakshum yipiu, ki malach Hashem tzavakosu. Ki ein lahem shunach lasad v'kerem, ki yam Hashem hu nachalasam. Kohanim, Jehovah Levi was not given a territory in Eretz Yisrael, like the other Shvatim, which Eretz Yisrael was divided up amongst the Shvatim. Not so for the Kohanim. So therefore, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is their portion, they don't have a piece of land that they're busy with. Right? They don't have a hedge fund that they're busy managing. Their whole life is Torah. V'hem shruyim tamid b'tara, ki nizharu shalala tamei nefesh ha'adam. And they live a life of sanctity, avoiding tumas meis. V'rov achilasim hu kadshim. And the food that they eat is kadshim and truma, which is eaten in the state of tara. So therefore what? They live an exalted life, and therefore they're the most fit in body and spirit for the deeper dimensions of Torah. And therefore, what does the pasuk say? Zos toras ha'ola. It doesn't just say this is the carbon ola, this is the study of the ola. What does that mean? He remez al toras hanista, the highest Torah. Shal yada ola ha'adam machshavta lizbone begavim rom v'yichudei amidos. The Torah that takes a person to the highest heights is, of course, the writings of the Arizal, the writings of the Ramak, the writings of the Baal Shem Tov, the Talmidov. Right? That's why it demands a certain Kedushas HaGuf, halavai we should have it, to be worthy of studying these type of Torah. Again, the Tzaddikim give Heterim Bizman Azeh, even if we're not as pure as we should be in our body, we still have a right to study these Torahs. But again, it's a Torah that takes a person to a very high place. Vizeo Perashaksuvim Vaidavra Shama Moshe Lemor Tzavis Aaron Vezbanov Lemor is those Torah Sa'ola. So now we understand the Pasuk. Moshe is told by Hashem, go tell Aaron and his children, Zos Torah Sa'ola, you're Kohanim, you're not connected to a piece of land, you're not eating regular food, everything you're doing is holy. Your portion in the world is Beis HaMikdash. Your food is Kodshim, is Truma Tahara, is pure Truma. Right, you're involved in learning and davening and offering karbanos. Ki lahem no lasak b'torah sanistar. On the most of a kasul amdeinu, eim asayhu zman mukshar lasak b'torah sanistar. When is the time to study Torah sanistar? Zos Torah sa'ola, have you know the pasuk, if you say karbanos a little bit in the morning, Zos Torah sa'ola, hi ha'ola al moikta kol ha'layla araboka. When does the karban ola burn? Primarily throughout the night. Iker ha'esek v'torah sanistar tzarech lios b'layla beis shlitas achitzonim. Again, the power of koach hanistar is to take on the biggest enemies, to fight the biggest yetzaharas. That's why a Jew who learns Pnimiyas HaTorah has a better shot, in my opinion, of defeating his yetzahara. Because he sees deeper dimensions of realities of Hashem's world, of Hashem himself. And because of that, hopefully he can make better choices in his life. He becomes more connected to the fire, even though, again, it's a risk. It's a risk drawing close to such a deep Torah. K'dei lisra fosam al moikta shal eish al yidei or makif hamavriach ha-sechitzonim. But again, the Tanai is, it has to be eish ha-mezbeach tukad bo. The eish ha-mezbeach, the fire of the mezbeach has to be tukad bo, has to burn within him, b'pnim yusa. Klomar shemekodim tzarech lasek b'torah is nigla. Right, he has to be a person who's grounded in nigla. Again, otherwise he becomes, you know, one of these Kabbalah center guys. The person who lives a life of normal, you know, halachic living. He has to be mevatel himself to the Mishnah Berurah, to the Shulchan Aruch, to the Aruch HaShulchan. He has to know, you know, how Jews live. Right? He has to listen to the Gedolim, to the Poskim. Otherwise, God forbid, he becomes Shabtai Tzvi, Rachmana Litzlan, Yimach Shema. He starts making all sorts of crazy cults. Yeah? So Eish HaMedbeach Tukar Bo, a person who the fire is burning properly within him, he's grounded properly in, again, normative halachic living, such a person then can become the Kohen, who's what? Who brings the Karban Ola, the loftiest of all, and he allows what? The fire to burn Al Moikta Kol HaLayla Araboker, to burn all night. Okay? Bottom paragraph. Me'ata Ya'ir Lanu Lahavin Mashadori Shalkach Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who actually comments in the context of the Karban Ola, B'yoser, why does it say Tzav es Aaron v'ezbanov? Whenever we see the word Tzav, what does it mean? It's a word of extra chizuk. B'yoser tzorach ha'kosav l'zariz b'makom sheyesh bo chesron kis. Says Rashi, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, the Torah needs to be mezariz, has to encourage, has to give a little extra push when we're dealing with something that's what? That involves chesron kis. When it's going to cost you financially. When something's expensive, people sometimes, you know, don't want to invest. A mitzvah I can do for free, no problem. An expensive mitzvah, a karban ola, I don't even get to eat any of the meat. I'm burning the whole thing. It's expensive. An animal. Put an animal on the mizbeach, it's expensive. Animals are not cheap. So that's why it says sav. What does it mean on a deeper level? What is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai really saying? Ki Rashbi gila ba'olam Torah sanistar, b'yoso b'chinas or makif. Rashbi himself was an or makif, revealed to us the Torah sanistar, which is an or makif, an enveloping light. Ulafia mavur, gam Torah sanistar hi b'chinas or makif. She'eino yachol eslavish b'socha guf machvas godol oro. It's a light that surrounds because it's too powerful to ingest. You can't bring this light into your body, it'll cause your body to explode. Lachein mazir Rashbi, so therefore Rashbi warns, b'yoser tzarach ha'kosav lezariv, Lazaris, b'makum sheyesh bo chesron kis. The Torah has to encourage, the Torah has to be more informative and more direct when we're dealing with what? With chesron kis. What does that mean, chesron kis? Klomer. B'yoser tzarech ha'kasav lazaris, akedushas limud chelek hasod shebetorah. The Torah has to warn us and encourage us when it comes to the study of Torah sanistar. Ki machmas heyosu b'chinas or makif. Because it's an or makif, yesh bo chesron kis. What does chesron kis literally mean? Right, the kis is a pocket. And what is a pocket? a pocket, right? Filling your pocket means taking something and keeping it on the inside. Cheser and kis, emptying your pocket means what? That the money that was in my pocket is now out of my pocket. There's nothing left on the inside. My wallet is empty. My pocket is empty. Right? The money that was originally on the inside is now on the outside. So when we talk about the Torah's Ha'ola, which is Merame is the Torah's Hanistar, which is an Or Makif, a surrounding light, right? A light that doesn't come, what, into the pocket, so to speak, into one's body, but envelops one's body. He says at the top of the last page, She'ein ha'or yachol islavish b'soch kis. The kis means the body, the guf. So this is a light that can't enter into the kis. Right? It's not able to be an or pnimi. L'chein ha'kos of tzarech l'hazir she'asku b'tor senisza b'kedush v'tara ki or rav ma'od. So therefore the Torah says, tzav, be careful. It's a warning shot. You're dealing with a very deep Torah. You should be dealing with it. And you should study it late at night. But again, realize that the fact that you can't internalize it in the same way as, you know, the way that a person absorbs a line in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, right? It's not as easy to apply a line in the writings of the Arizal and to internalize it in the same way. That itself is an indication that what? It's a very powerful light, and it surrounds you and not easily ingested. Okay, final paragraph for today. So now we understand one of the minhagim of Lag V'Omer. On Lag V'Omer, it's a time of what? Of making big bonfires, right? Big fires, and people dance around the fires, and people draw close to the fire. Shabalag ba'omer yoma hilula shal rashbi noagim lahadlik maduros gedolos, big fires, yeah? And you see the people who are more of a kushet to Lag ba'omer, their mamish sometimes getting a little too close to the fire. People are getting nervous, like, you know, take a couple steps back. Right? You see these little kids sometimes, yeah? They're building these huge bonfires. Like, where are the parents? Like, why are these kids? Right? Because the kids are the future, and the kids understand that as we get closer and closer to the future, the need to draw close to the flames, obviously I'm not Chas V'Shalom encouraging anyone to do anything unsafe, right? But the same way at Har Sinai, there were those Jews who moved back because they were intimidated, and there were those Jews who said, wow, I'm in a makum of Ashras HaShechina, of Gilui Elokus. Why would I move away from such a thing? So the reason that we have this practice of making these big bonfires and drawing close to those fires and dancing with those fires, right, and wanting to be near those fires. Kedei l'ramiz b'zeh al gedulas nishmas Rashbi. That Rashbi was one of those tzaddikim who didn't run. Shelo baruchu. Ve'eish ha'gadol l'shiro yisrael matan Torah. He didn't run from the fire of matan Torah. Kivisha atu shar yisrael. Like those Jews who moved away, which again were primarily the Erev Rav. Because they were afraid. Pen tochalnu ha'eish ha'gadola. Lest we be consumed by the fire. El Rashbi neskari of tachas ahara l'eish ha'gadola. Shehi b'vachinas or makif, l'chein zocha legalos ba'olam Torah sanistar, which itself is an or makif, u'kafish nesbar b'zohar kadosh, shekol elu sha'amdu tacha sahar, that those who stood under Har Sinai, those who can understand the need for only a single mouth, because everything that they do is done with a depth, right? As Rashbi said, those who stood next to Har Sinai needed two mouths. That was his suggestion. But for those like myself who stood under Har Sinai, who were enveloped by the light of Torah, lo baruchu me'eish ha'gedola, zachu lahasig tayos ha'nistar. Okay, so obviously this is a very lofty thing, but again, it's a reminder to us that if we feel a connection to this Torah, which hopefully we do, right, that's a sign that it's a good indication that we had a good place at Har Sinai, and again, we have to make sure that we stay grounded in the Or Pnimi, in the light of Torah Sanigla, of Gemara, of Mishnayis, of Halacha, Chumash Rashi, Pashup Pshat, but then to spend those late night hours trying to delve a little deeper and to offer the carbon oila to Hashem. All right? Okay. Deep things.